They're all during a time gold just going up and up. So we think that's one of the key factors right now in gold, is to punch a hole in the bubble, watch the money flow. And our bet is, yes, you're going to see it in gold more so than we've even seen it now in terms of upside exaggeration. Be far more accelerated, but mainly in the miners and silver.
Michael Oliver, good afternoon to you. How are you, my friend?
Hi, Andy. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. So last time we talked, I want to say it was in December, off in gold, and you were saying, well, probably pop right back up here and we're going to scream, and that's what's happening. We're making our assault on $3,000. So well done, my friend. Let's talk about the gold market, what you're seeing. It's been a whale for the past probably 2 to 3 months.
Yeah, it's the thing that's obvious to most people is that silver miners aren't following, right? You know, but meaning, like, for instance, gold's way out above its 2020 high, which is at $2,070, okay? Silver, yeah, it's out above its 2020 high, but it hasn't made a new high since October. Yet gold's continued up. And the miners are still capped, in the low to mid-40s, GDX, for example. They look like they're lagging, but actually, if you go back and measure percent gain in price since, let's say, the 2015 bear low, miners are more than gold. Hard to, if they are, percent-wise, they're actually up more than gold. And if you just go back over the last year or so, in fact, we'll update that this Friday, February to February, you know, what's a year to date, 12 months. Silver, I think, is going to be up more than gold on a percent basis. And miners as well, and they're all of them are beating the S&P and the NASDAQ. What? Mm-hmm. You know, that's not mentioned on, you know, any of the business TV channels, or, you know, it's still, everybody's focused on the bubble. We think, and we've been arguing for months, that one of the key factors for gold at this point, and the miners and silver, for the monetary complex, is that the bubble break in that paper asset category, the stock market. We argue it's the biggest bubble in U.S. history, stock market bubble, both in duration, multiples of gain since 2009. And we know the reason. You look at an M2 chart or look at a Fed funds chart, you know, hey, we've been on drugs for 10 to 15 years, you know. And even when they raised rates recently, well, you know, it's still at such low levels that even the recent peak in rates on the short end doesn't even compare to the prior 50 years. So we've been in hallucinogenic world in terms of that paper asset category. It's been spoon-fed drugs. And when it breaks, it breaks. This is the history. When it breaks, the money goes somewhere. It doesn't just go up in smoke, okay? And then it goes into gold. But 1900s, early 1900s, 1929, 32, you couldn't trade gold. You know, Roosevelt banned it, but Homestead went up 1,000%.
Yeah.
And all the bull market peaks since then, you know, mid-70s, dot-com peak, 2007 peak. If you went in and bought gold then, you did quite well, not just for the duration of the bear market in stocks, which is only a couple of years, but then stocks laid in the wasteland for sometimes a decade before they could even get back to the price high of the prior bull. And all during that time, gold just going up and up. So we think that's one of the key factors right now in gold, is to punch a hole in the bubble, watch the money flow. And our bet is, yes, you're going to see it in gold more so than we've even seen it now in terms of upside exaggeration, be far more accelerated, but mainly in the miners and silver. The miners are a place, such a small little tiny category, that when big hands reach forth, when they realize that, hey, you know, it's been doing quite well despite what we've been looking at in the stock market, that the miners have been beating us, and yet nobody knows that. When they move that money in there, it's going to be like a wet bar of soap. And you think you're starting to see the tonal change already in, for example, the day-to-day action of GDX. Sometimes you'll get a down day in gold or silver, GDX will be up, or gold will be up 0.5%, GDX up 3%. You know, it's a difference I've noticed over the last month. And I think that's partly a sign that there is money starting to move out of that broken bubble. And the numbers it takes for MSA to declare top in place for the stock market are literally a handful of percentage points below where NASDAQ 100 is right now. And I think in the next few weeks, you're going to see that trigger hit and the money flow will become exaggerated.
Okay. Wow. So let me just back up a little bit here, though. You don't think we're near a top then right now in the gold market?
That's my first. No. We're not even close, both in terms of price and probably time. And I also argue this point. Every time we get these massive moves in gold, we get a top. And we get a bear market. You know, 1975, it went from the 30s to $200, collapsed back to 100. Then it went from 100 to 850 in 1980, and it collapsed back down to 260. And then it went from 260 to 1900 in 2000 to 2011, and it collapsed back down to 1050. So everybody thinks that once it's over, you're going down. Consider this possibility. Gold is money. It's been disacknowledged as money since Roosevelt and Nixon, removing it from domestic, removing it from foreign. And this next crisis we face, I'm going to bet that gold goes up somewhere and stays up there because it's locked in as real money again. And the currencies are pegged to it. And the question then is, well, what is silver and the miners going to do in what we consider to be this acceleration or catch-up phase? And that's why, personally, I'm most focused on the miners and silver. Yes, they've been dogs compared to gold, lagging behind the mama market. Sometimes leading, by the way. There's surges where silver, you know, outpaces gold, and then it pulls back more than gold does. You know the game. But actually, they've been, you know, since 2015. We're going back just a year even. You go back to the February close of last year, and now the February close we're about to see, and measure how much silver's up versus how much gold is up on an actual percent basis. You'd be shocked. But anyway, the point being that those markets are going to go to levels that I think will surprise people. And certainly the miners are off the page underpriced to reality.
Yeah.
And that's where the greatest percent gain this year, I think, is going to be for investors. If you got to be in stocks, be in gold miners.
Yeah. So a few thoughts on that, and I want to work out silver a little bit more. You are the third person that's told me that in the last 3 days that I interview people all day long. The third person that I really, really respect just said what you did. You're in great company. That gold's not coming down is because it is going to be seen as real money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happening right now that we're seeing.
It's what's beginning to happen.
Beginning. Next question is the silver, it seems like it does have a little bit of a lid on it around this area. Mm-hmm. Do you see us blasting that? Even though it's not a great move, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Great. Talk to me about silver. What do you see silver acting, behaving, and do you see it breaking through? You know, the 233 low.
Every time silver goes up and makes a new price high, it'll surge a couple bucks and then go into a pause mode for like 3 or 4 or 5 months. Everybody declares that's it. It's a topic, a major correction. The recent action since the isolated peak in October, which is 35, really, that was very temporary, has been congestive action. Yeah, we pull back hard. But most of it's been either side of 32, 33 area. Okay, right now we're 33 area, closer to that. If you close out the month, people don't realize this, at I think 32.85 or 32.88, just above where we are right now, That's actually a new high monthly close for the move. No, not a new high trade. But when we examine some intermediate trend metrics, not the big picture, but just like breaking it down into weekly action over the last 6 months or so, you get back up to that 35 zone again. This time, it's not going to be just another, oh, couple bucks and then a pause. I think this time when you get up to 35 plus again and take out that last high, it's not just some, oh, another two steps forward, then a step back. I think we go into an accelerated phase at that point where you could see silver gush through 50, which is really an idiot technical level. It's not technically important except that it occurred, you know, in 1980 and 2011 and occurred there very briefly, like, you know, a couple days and then it collapsed. That level is just an old signpost. It's really not meaningful. And I think you'll blast through that pretty quickly in the catch-up phase here, where silver suddenly does what gold's done, which is to say take out, you know, its prior highs. I think the gold miners, silver, for example, right now is a 1.14%, I think, 1.14% the price of gold. If you go back for the last 50 years and check out each year, what was the best reading silver had each year expressed as a percent of the price of gold? 20 of those 50 years, it was at least 2%.
Wow.
Okay. Now, if you just go to a routine, oh, 22% again, big deal. You've been there before, 20 years out of 50. So it's really not excessive in any way. Well, even 2% of 3,000 bucks is off the page. Okay.
Yeah.
Imagine gold goes up, you know, a number I've thrown out before, which is nothing but a logarithmic scale number. If you look back in its past 50 years, there have been a couple eightfold moves. You know, from bear low to bull high, it went up eightfold. Okay. So, you know, that's not abnormal. Well, eightfold for gold right now would be $8,000 plus, because our bear low was 1,050. So, you know, and there are factors out there, frankly, that could take gold up to a normal logarithmic scaled move. Well, what's 2% of 8,000 bucks? Okay, you get my point. Silver could go berserk just to get back to normal levels.
Okay. Right.
And there have been times it's been 3.5%. One time it was 6.5%. Forget that. You could get up to 2-3%. It's no big deal. And right now we're 1.14. Well, we're measuring daily action, frankly. We're down to a microscope level measuring that stupid spread. Going back to that October high when it was up at 1.28% or something. There's a structure such that if you uptick a couple good days and get up 1.14, you're going to surge that spread. And I'm betting that if you ever get silver back up over 35 again, you know, and again, oh gosh, we're going to make a new high. Who cares? You know, that kind of thing. That spread's going to break out. And I'm going to bet we're going to rush up to 2%. And again, you could do the math on that. Gold doesn't even have to go up much. Just getting 2%, silver would be off the page. So
that's huge.
Yeah. So, but the miners, if you go back, and we ran a spread chart going back to the 1980s, where we measured the monthly close of the XAU index, which has been around since the 1980s. And it's not an ETF, it's an index of gold and silver miners. Back then, between the 1980s and 2008, XAU index lived in a spread relation to gold of 17.5% low to up to 30%+ high. So in a range where its price, if you divided it into gold, would be either 17.5% on the low end or up to 30% of the price of gold. That was its normal range for decades. 2008, it broke down, a lot coincident with the bear market that later followed in silver. And that spread collapsed all the way down to about, I think, 4% off the page. That was 2015 low. Since then, XAU has firmed. It's up around 5%, I think, now, in relation to the price of gold. So actually, since 2015, the XAU index is up more than the price of gold on a percent gain basis. And that spread is above that low, but it's been in a range, a Deadville range at very low levels. And that range is very definable. If you break out of that range, there's no resistance on the spread until you get up to about 17.5%. The old lows, okay. Well, that's a tripling of the relative value of the gold miners to gold just to get back up the bump, the bottom of an old multi-decade floor. Oh, so in other words, if you break that spread out of this 10-year wide base, and I think you're going to do it, it says, gee, so for the next year or two, we could see miners go three times up more percentage-wise than gold does.
Just to get back to the historical.
Okay. Go ahead.
It's crazy. Just to get back to their historical where they've been. Meaning they're low to where.
The low end of where they've been between 1980s and 2008. So for a couple of decades, that was the bottom, their bottom. All you do is go and bump that bottom and say, okay, they're going to fail there. Fine. They've tripled just to get there. And it looks like a technical situation that is highly likely to happen. So that's why personally I'm very focused, and we inform our subscribers of this emphasis in one, the monetary metals over other asset categories, but within the monetary metals, miners and silver is a better place to be.
Got it. Well, let me ask you this. Do you have any, an ETA? Again, that's really hard, but do you have a time frame? Do you think we're going to see them happen?
Yeah, I think that is largely going to be a function, again, of the what we talked about before, which is breaking the bubble, stock market bubble.
Money flow.
Yeah. In other words, that's the timing mechanism. And right now, we think it's topping. We've already had enough signals out of the S&P to say top. It's the NASDAQ 100, which is the leader index. You know, the S&P over 9 years or 15 years went up nine or so fold from its 2009 low, nine times. But the NASDAQ 100 were 18-fold. So it's definitely the leader. It was back in the dot-com period, too. You know, when the dot-com peaked 2000 to 2002, it also went down more. NASDAQ went down 82%. S&P went down 50. Well, you top now and the leader goes down, it'll lead the way down. It has not yet broken our quarterly momentum trend structures, which are paper clear. And they're literally, you know, several percentage points below where we're trading right now. Just close a week there and we trigger it. And those numbers are going to adjust up as of next quarter. When we get into April, those numbers will jump up in your face. I suspect they're going to break this quarter, meaning this month or next. And if you do, I don't think it necessarily implies a crash situation, but it does imply a jolt. The kind of jolt, like 20% or so, that could cause faces to turn sour. You know, if you're a middle-class person and the only thing that's made you smile for the last 6 months is, hey, my retirement account's gone up. Hey, you know, it's great. You don't know, my mortgage is killing me. My property taxes, I don't know if I get paid to income taxes this year, et cetera, et cetera. The only one thing that makes you smile is your retirement account. If you suddenly take 20% off that, the smile's gone. That's when emotion hits people, when they no longer have something to smile about. And they have nothing but uncertainty. And uncertainty yields fear. And the data points at that point will suddenly go south. The data points the Fed likes to look at, you know, it's already been rising. It's going to rise more, especially when you cut government growth up. You know,
right.
That's one of the biggest growth factors in the last 6 months has been the rise in government employment.
Right.
If you just freeze that, much less cut it, it's going to dent the unemployment numbers, but also other numbers, economic related numbers. The Fed's going to see an excuse, despite the fact they don't want to do it, to help Trump cut the rate. And you can bet they will. And you can bet the ECB and the BOJ will be fully part of that club where, you know, monetary excess is on again. In which case, monetary degradation is on again. And what drives gold ultimately? Monetary degradation.
Yeah.
And that's going to happen when the bubble breaks. And by the way, the Nikkei looks like a bubble just like us.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, anyway, it's going to be that's the event that will help time the point of acceleration in the monetary metal. So if you see the NASDAQ break our key levels, you can bet that the next up you see in the monetary metals is not just going to be another, oh, nice jolt and then a multi-month pullback. It's going to be something different.
It's going to be violent.
It's going to be more violent and more vertical. Instead of three steps up, two back, two steps up, one back for gold, it's going to be like 10 steps up, two back. And it's going to shock people. And when that money flows, it's going to jolt that little tiny sector off the page.
Yeah.
So now is really the time to just position yourselves accordingly.
Yes. I'm not going to. We do pick miners. Every month we sift through the miners and try to pick out the ones that for now are outperforming the sector. Because, you know, anytime any sector moves, there's going to be outperformers and underperformers within the sector. So you always want to sort of be there. But basically, you just want to be in the miners. And so, you know, maybe the thing to do is look at the index ETFs instead of being picky, unless you want to take the time. But I think in general, it's a dart throw. Just be in there. It's a place to be, and they're behaving well. And they're about to behave a lot better.
No, they have. I've in my small fund that I have with my partner, we're up significantly. We're predominantly in miners, and that's just been in the last 4 weeks. But we're expecting bigger things to come. So,
yeah, I think finally you're going to get that instead of the staircase. You're going to get that.
Yeah. Well, Michael, I'm a huge fan of your work. I'm a client. I'm a very happy client. Love your work. Love what you do. If our listeners want to know more about you, find you, and how do they become a potential client of yours?
Well, Oliver MSA from Momentum Structural Analysis. Go to the site, tool around, look at our past reports. You could see some of how we apply our method, which is unorthodox. We don't use normal technical stuff. And when we use the word momentum, we don't mean what most people do. We're looking at structure, not, oh boy, look strong type of thing. You know, momentum is often different from what people think it is, the way we measure it. And then, you know, we cover all four asset categories because it's important now. Like I said, you know, you don't just look at gold. You look at the stock market now because it's going to be very important to gold. So, you know, even if you're not in the stock market, what it does is going to impact gold big time. So anyway, that's what we do. And we've been doing it since 1992.
Michael, you're way underselling yourself. You're very kind. You're very humble, but you've had some great calls in the past since I've been reading your stuff. So I just want to thank you for that. And I will absolutely. And I don't get paid anything. And I do this just very freely and candidly. I'm just a huge fan. So whoever goes to your site, please, you can get great value there. So thank you so much, Michael. I'll put all of this in the show notes below and the YouTube channel, as well as on the Apple Podcasts and the Spotify Podcasts, so I can find you.
Thanks, Andy.
All right. We'll see you again soon.